Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We have the cold wind, the slowly creeping one. Okay. Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 2. Shaktis naturally coexist with Brahman. Page 98. The refutation first rejects Brahman without qualities and accepts Shaktis of Brahman in order to accomplish Brahman's agency. Then, in order to present qualities in Brahman, an example is given. The qualities of Brahman are not like temporary heat in water, but rather like the intrinsic heat of fire. Right? Because otherwise they're saying that Brahman may take on qualities because it's in context with either Ajnana or Jnana, Shaktis. Mm-hmm. And then because of that, it temporarily takes on these things of qualities. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, it's inherent in Brahman. Shruti says, Natat samas chabhyadikaras chadrishyate. Nothing equal or superior to the Lord is seen. Svetasvataru Upanishad. So that means he can't take on qualities because of the influence of something else. Right? Because that's what they're saying, is this illusion comes in somehow or another and covers Brahman. You know, like the idea of the pot. The pot covers a part of the sky, so you think that sky in the pot is separate from the main sky. Right? You move the pot, then it's all one sky. So, but the point is how could nothing is equal to or superior to the Lord? So how could there be something that could cover Brahman? Right? So it's a fallacious idea. So the qualities are inherent in Brahman. So Brahman is able to affect creation and the illusion of the living entities without being affected himself. Because the energies are coming from him. Like that. Just like heat is warming around without its... I mean, fire is warming things around without itself changing. It doesn't have to change to accomplish warming the room. Mm. Right? Because the heat is inherent to fire. Mm-hmm. There is some difference between Brahman and mantras or gems. The Shaktis of Brahman are not under the control of anyone except the Lord, whereas mantras are invoked by various people. That is shown. Moreover, there is no fault at all in Brahman, since creation is accomplished with transformation of the gunas, just by the influence of the Surup Shakti. Right, so the formal cause, right, so the internal potency, the Surup Shakti, then under the direction of the original cause, or Brahman, then you see the transformation where then you have all the variety of the material ingredients. Right? And then the living entity under that illusion then thinks they're the controller of these ingredients. Right? So by the transformation of the internal potency, then you're going to get both. You're going to get all the material ingredients and all that. You're also going to get the living entities thinking that they're going to be doing everything. Right? But they're all non-different from him. So the ingredient cause is Krishna, and the efficient cause is Krishna. But at the same time, is being that he's the source of this, he's unaffected by it. Yeah? The word Brahman means Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Brahman is everything. Right? There's nothing that's not Brahman. Chandogya Upanishad. However, it is accepted that material gunas are different from Brahman. And since he is said to be near guna, that means he is untouched by the material gunas. The gunas belong to the external shakti. Mm-hmm. Right? So, Everything's him, but at the same time as he's unaffected by the modes of nature. Right? So the modes of nature is what is creating and making all the changes we see in the material world. So to be able for that to happen, that means then that's happening under the external energy. So it's a transformation of the external energy. Right? But that external energy is under the influence of the Sarup Shakti, or the internal potency. And the internal potency is under the influence of the Lord. So in this way, then, it all happens. So that way, then, the Lord has potencies, but it's a transformation of the potencies that makes everything happen. He himself is unaffected. Right? So he doesn't have to change for his energies to change. And even the internal potency remains as it is. Right? There's this transformation. Is the shadow, but still the main body remains. You know, it's just like for there to be a shadow, you don't have to change. You know, it's not like, okay, at noontime you're bigger because the shadow is very small, but as the sun starts to set, the shadow gets bigger, you start to get smaller, you know, because more of your potency is used up in the shadow. No.
Right. So the Mayavadis don't accept there are two energy, material and spiritual.
They don't accept energies at all. I mean, they'll say, but it's a material, it's illusion, so it doesn't exist, so why are they talking about it? So that's the problem. If they just accept that these are the Lord's energies, and that he is the energetic, that's inherent in his Sarup, mm-hmm. then all the difficulties that they have in understanding the philosophy go away. Right? Yeah. What they're supposed to do, they're coming to the transcendental platform, how they can come to that point for platform of Brahmananda, but it's eternal position in a relationship with the Lord. So the concept that they have of Brahmananda, it's way beyond that. So whatever they're offering has very minimal ananda. Right, technically it's not ananda, it's called ananda because, you know, it makes it sound better. Is that make sense? Yeah.
Suffering for some time.
Yes, yes. Well, it's just like in the Vedas. That's why it says that the glories of the holy name are an exaggeration. Because when you're talking about karma and jnana and their results, it's exaggerated. You know, it's a fabulous, you know, you go to heavenly planets, they live forever. You know, amara, deathless. You know, it just means for some time. You know, it's just like one has a feeling, who is energetic, he feels like he's like that forever.
Yes.
You know, and after 5 minutes and someone comes along, says something, and then we're not so energetic anymore.
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is that this whole idea is that it's an exaggeration, because, yes, there is that. How many moments are they thinking about their deathlessness? Right? If you're in the heavenly planets, how often do you think about your deathlessness? Right? On day-to-day things, you're not going to think about it. It's only when there's some context with humans or something else, then you feel like, yes, we live forever, and then you feel good about it. So there'll be a moment here and there. But it's not a constant thing. Right? And so, you know, and if you're always happy, means that when you're engaging the senses, yes, you'll get a better result. The quality of the senses, quality of the facilities is better, but it doesn't mean that your continual engagement of the senses is what's always going on. Does that make sense? You know, because, you know, you have to get up in the morning, take a bath, you know, you have to walk somewhere, you know, you brush your teeth, you know, so it's not like brushing your teeth, you're rolling on the ground in ecstasy. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that we project that if there's a moment here and there, then it's nice. You know, like the whole day's been miserable. You know, getting up in the morning, going to work, then the work, then coming back from work and all that. And then if you can just sit, you know, in your chair for half an hour or something and just relax and do whatever you want to do, then you feel, okay, it's all worthwhile. So that means if for 24 hours you get half an hour, that's okay. And that's enough quiet, because the soul is by nature ananda. So that's going to be important to them. So you can have a whole ocean of misery, and if there's a drop of happiness, they'll take the happiness. You know, so that's what they're looking for. And so then when they see that in the regular thing it doesn't work, then they're also going to try for you know, the pessimistic kind of side. Like that. And how to make it work. Right? And just by getting rid of everything, that will make you happy. But at least that inspires them. So they're able to function. So, yeah. So that's the weakness, is that the focus is on the negative rather than on the positive. And it's not about the positive because of what you'll get from it. That's why then the Shastras are saying that we don't put too much emphasis on good and bad, right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, what's the purpose of right and wrong, or good and bad? Right? It's only to define what is proper service for Krishna and what's not. What's pleasing to Krishna and what's not. That's all the more it's for. Mm-hmm. Yes. Does that make sense? We make it into that's the big thing. But it's actually not. It's pleasing Krishna is the big thing. Right? So then trying to please Krishna, then that means there's things to do, so that's what's right, and things not to do, that's what's wrong. But if we look at it, this is right, this is wrong, why? Because this gives a good result, that gives a bad result. That's not actually the Krishna conscious position. It may be intelligent in the way of appreciating the difference between piety and impiety, but it's not ultimately intelligent. Because ultimate intelligence means what is beneficial to Krishna. Does that make sense? So when there's so much on what's wrong or what's right, then, you know, because we'll take it, if we can point out a fault, it's substance. But if you haven't replaced it with something, then how is it substance? Right? Like, say the kid's going to eat some junk food. So you say, don't eat that. But you don't give him real food. Then the junk food is better than no food. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And so the point is if you're going to, you have to replace it with something. And why replace it? Why don't eat this, eat that, or don't do this, do that, is only because of its relationship to Krishna. If we just see it, know it's good and this and that, you know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty with the aparavidya, is then we'll start to define more what's good and what's bad. But that's why Bhagavatam's the topmost scripture, because all of those aparavidyas are defined in the context of serving Krishna. Right? Because if they serve Krishna, then they have value, then they have meaning. But if they don't serve Krishna, then yeah, okay, it's nicer in the material world, but it's still temporary. You know? Then it's like what Prabhupada says, the gold chain instead of an iron chain. Does that make sense? Yeah.
In this context, later it's described about Tripad Vibhuti and Ekapad Vibhuti. Like Vaikuntha is defined as Tripad Vibhuti. Then Jiva Goswami gives explanation, one kind of explanation of what is this Tripad Vibhuti, is the three aspects of Amrita, Abhaya and Kshema, which is eternal, no, fearless and secure. And even in Brahma Jyoti, which is actually the effulgence of the Lord, that experience is there, which is experienced as bliss. But the original bliss is only in contact with the Lord along with his Shaktis. Then the Ananda is experienced. So otherwise, it's just experience of these things, which is not there in the material world, seems to be very the highest bliss.
Yeah, it's just that it's just quality mechanics and quality ingredients is then what we're calling happiness. But the point is the amount of what you can gain from it is not going to be any more, because without the Lord, how does it work? So it only means the quality ingredients and quality, endeavor will give you better results only if it's in line with what should be used in bhakti. Right? So because it's in line with bhakti, you'll get better, more benefit. Though because it isn't bhakti, then you're not actually going to get more than what you would experience from better quality ingredients, that's all. Does that make sense? So it's not that you're dealing with Ananda.
Yes.
So the ingredients themselves have a taste. Otherwise, it's Krishna. Krishna is Ananda. So then he is Rasa. So why wouldn't there be a taste in his expansions in the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis? It's just that they only have that full taste when they're in connection with the Icha, because that's where Ananda is. That's where the Haladini is. Right? But otherwise, the mechanics being going nicely, there's going to be a taste. But the problem is when you remove the devotional taste of Krishna consciousness, then whatever's left, that's what we're working with. Like I mentioned, the dog will sit there and lick an already finished eating, and they'll lick that plate because there's a little bit of taste there. And so then in the material world, we call that material happiness. So it's just that what has better ingredients, better mechanics, whatever level it is, if it's on the physical level, that has to be there. If it's emotional, that has to be there. Intellectual, that has to be there. You know what I'm saying? The awareness, the consciousness, that has to be there. And so whichever area is where you're looking have that value to gain that happiness, if that's mechanically done properly with proper ingredients, then you get a better experience. But the point is it itself is limited if it's not connected to the Lord. And when it's connected to the Lord, it's only giving the same amount of support. It's the connection to the Lord that gives Ananda. You know what I'm saying? It's not that it itself is more. It's because of the Lord. Like prasad, you're tasting Krishna. It's not that the prasad itself is any better. You know, it's not that the cauliflower now has more flavor. No, it's because Krishna's tasted it. That's why it tastes more. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the cauliflower is a cauliflower. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Is eternal potency also changeable or it can change?
The eternal potency. And how are you defining changeable?
We see that Aparashakti can be changed by different transformation. And about spiritual work, it can be changed?
Means there's variety, but it's always the same transcendental energy. You're always dealing with the chit potency. Well, in the material world, you're dealing with the gunas. So you get completely different effects. But there, you're always dealing with the internal potency. So it's always going to have that connection to Krishna. But it doesn't mean it doesn't have variety. Right? That here has variety, that's because it's a reflection of the spiritual world. But here it's done mechanically.
When we say that the Tattva Shakti it can be changed, it just can be covered by material energy, or we mean that...
Yes, it only is covered. Means the spiritual nature of the living entity is there, it's just covered. You know, that's the example of the ring. If it gets dropped in the mud, it's still a gold ring, it's just covered by mud. Right? So now if you put that on with the mud and go out to, you know, your fancy, you know, black tie event, it's probably not going to impress anybody. Even though it's still a gold ring. And it may be a bigger gold ring than, you know, even, you know, 50 cents has, you know? Does that make sense? No? Yeah. But, because it's covered with mud, no one's going to appreciate it.
No one's going to see.
Yeah, because no one sees. So the point is the soul, nature being covered by the modes of nature, then you're unable to appreciate the actual nature of the soul.
Transformation means that it can be covered, but form will not be changed.
Means for the soul.
I mean, yes, Swarupa.
Yes, but it means that the Swarupa is just conditioned. That's all. So we're not looking at the change that's there so much, because the principle is whatever it is, it's still covered. You know, you cover it this way, that way. It doesn't matter. It's still covered. You know what I'm saying? You move the mud around a bit, or. You know, you're looking at it's not a matter of transformation, it's a matter of covering. What you're looking at the Parinamavada is when the Shaktis are changing. They're adjusting. So you're going from internal to external. Right? And then the various modes are coming up. But the modes are fixed, how they work, everything's fixed. The 24 elements, it's all fixed. But it's just what combinations you put it together. So it's not that it gets any less or any more. It's not that kind of transformation. Does that make sense?
Parinama Vada means it's the ability to be transformed in the material stuff.
Yes, we don't refer to that on the spiritual. The variety in the spiritual world, we don't use that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, because the point is then you're situated within the natural position. So Krishna has unlimited energy, so then how they're going to act and all that. So that is then being reflected here. And so that variety is reflected here. But here it goes on in a mechanical way. Does that make sense? Yeah, because there it's driven by rati, by that affection for Krishna. Well, here it's driven by lust. Right? So it's the opposite. So then you're not connecting with Krishna, so that ananda is not there. So you're just working with the mechanics, right? The knowledge, the forms, the endeavors, the results you can get. That's all you're working with. Because once you get the result, you offer it to Krishna. Right? So the point is they're only working with these lower two levels. They're not working with the higher level. So that makes sense.
Brahmavadis, they experience Brahmananda. So, on which level of consciousness are they situated? On Vijnanamay or they just simply touch Anandamaya also?
They're situated in Vijnanamaya, but the point is Mayavadis, how they'll get to Anandamaya?
No, the Brahmavadis.
The Brahmavadis, yeah, they'll be there because they see everything as Brahman, so they're dealing with the transcendental. But how does that change anything?
No,
what does it do?
It doesn't change anything.
So then
I just wanted to know if they have an experience, even a little of what is Anandamaya consciousness, so that they can take up devotional service.
But the point is that amount of ananda that they're getting is just connected with Brahman. Because when they say Brahmananda, then that means only the Brahmavadis, not the Mayavadis. And then it will be considered like, you know, compared to the happiness that, you know, Brahma has, then it'll be like an ocean compared to a drop, right? But it says that Brahmananda, then in comparing to the spiritual happiness, is like a fraction of a portion of a drop compared to an unlimited ocean of devotion. So what does it matter whether they... and or not. Like if I give you half a grain of rice, did you taste some rice? So then why
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it seems that the living entity has so many ideas in order to avoid to serve Krishna.
Yes. We're just looking for so many ways that, well, maybe that, but yeah. Ultimately, we have to surrender. That's, yes.
It seems Mayavadis are similar to the karmis because the karmis want to ignore the world and enjoy the world creation.
Yes. But they will be atheistic in that way. That's what we're meaning. That means we'll count them as theists and that they're following the scriptures. You know, so that way you kind of say agnostic or something like that. But actually it's not theistic in that they're not accepting the form of the Lord. When you accept the form of the Lord as eternal, that's actual theism. But otherwise, if you're willing to accept the scriptures as an absolute, then and follow the scriptures, that will be counted within the context of theism. It's theistic morality. It doesn't mean that your consciousness is necessarily theistic. But you're accepting at least the theistic concept of morality.
The mechanics might be.
Yes, because you're taking from the scriptures the mechanics rather than just what is, you know, popular amongst the people and socially accepted. That's atheistic morality.
Yes.
Right. But actually it's only the consciousness is absorbed in Krishna that gives the transcendental effect. Yeah. There is the Shruti statement, Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, Mayinam tu maheshwaram. One should know Maya, Prakriti, and the Lord, the controller of Maya. Sveta Sutara Upanishad. This indicates that Maya is under the Lord's control. In that mind which is undisturbed because it was pure from the performance of bhakti, he saw Lord Krishna, complete with all his energies and spiritual expansions, and also saw Maya, who took shelter under behind the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.4. Because the Lord is Maheshwara, the Supreme Controller, Maya is under his shelter. It is controlled by him. Thus, as previously concluded, it is proved that the Lord is not touched by the faults of Maya and has as his nature shaktis. Gita says, I will now speak about the object of knowledge, knowing which you will attain liberation. The object of knowledge, the Supreme Brahman, is beyond material cause and effect. Bhagavad Gita 13.13. Here is the arrangement. There is one Supreme Tattva, which is present at all times by his natural, inconceivable Shakti, in four forms. The Lord, his powers, the Jiva, and Pradhan. It is like the sun, which has internal heat, and produces rays externally as its secondary form. Right, so we always talk about the internal, external, and the jivas, right? And so then there's the Lord. So these are the four forms, right? So Brahman has these four forms: the Lord, his powers, the jiva, and Pradhan. But we have to understand that the Lord is the Supreme Brahman, and because he is Brahman, everything coming from him will be Brahman. But he's the controller of these other three Brahmans, right? And he controls the Pradhan through his powers. So he doesn't directly deal. Just as the light of a fire is situated in one place, spreads its illumination, the Shakti of the Supreme Brahman spreads out as the whole universe. Vishnu Purana 1:22.55. Vishnu Purana 1:22.55. Shruti says, Yasya bhasha sarvam idam vibhati. By his light, this whole universe shines. Katha Upanishad 2:2.15. The argument that Shaktis cannot coexist with the Lord, since the Lord is all pervading, is refuted by the inconceivable nature in his Shaktis. Inconceivable means, quote, to perform the impossible, unquote. There are three types of Shakti, Antaranga, Bahiranga, and Tatastha. These three give rise to four manifestations. By the Antaranga Shakti, called Sarup Shakti, the Lord's complete Sarup, and, as well, his powers such as Vaikuntha, Sarup Vaibhava, manifest. The Tatastha Shakti manifests as the individual pure jivas, like rays of the sun. The Bahiranga or Maya Shakti manifests as Pradhan with insentient external objects like various colors in its rays. The Jiva is Tatastha Shakti, since he is similar to the Lord. Pradhan is included in Maya. Vishnu Purana describes these three. The Lord has a superior energy, another energy called the Jiva, and a third energy, the material energy, called Avidya Karma. Vishnu Purana 6.7.61. Concealed by Maya, the Jiva Shakti exists in various conditions in various bodies. Vishnu Purana 6.7.63. That which has ignorance as its effect is called Maya. Though this Shakti is Bahiranga, it is capable of covering the Jiva, who belongs to the Tatastha Shakti. Thus the Jiva exists in various bodies which act as coverings, from Brahma to plants to insignificant or important forms. Bewildered by that Maya, the Jiva, though separate from the three gunas, considers himself made of the three gunas and takes on material existence created by the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.5. Bewildered by the inconceivable Maya, Yaya, the jiva considers himself made of the gunas. It will be shown later that Pradhan is made manifest through Maya. Though the Lord Swarup, his spiritual manifestation, Vaibhava, the jivas and matter, manifest from Antaranga, Tatastha and Bahiranga Shaktis, are one with the Lord and are thus non-different from the Lord, they are not equal in all respects. Thus they are localized portions of the Lord. Nor does the Lord take the form of these Shaktis. Therefore their faults do not apply to the Lord. So the Lord doesn't take the form of the Shaktis, he has his own form. He manifests through his internal potencies, but he's his own form. And his Shaktis, then, they have their form. So any faults of their form does not apply to him, because the form is different. Pipalaya speaks to Nimi. Vriti, after establishing that Brahman can have intrinsic and inconceivable Shaktis that are contradictory to each other, right? Because the internal and external and the jivas, they're all, you know, contradictory. Right, one's spiritual, one's material. You have the unlimited aspect and the jiva being the most limited. Right, God. Next, the functions of the chit and achit shaktis are discussed in the next adhikarna to establish that the Lord is not affected by the faults of achit shakti and that the chit shakti is the cause of spiritual variegatedness. Okay. Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 3. Functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis. Anuchedas 15 through 26. Adhikarna Prakashika. Having proven in the previous Adhikarna that the Lord has inconceivable Shaktis, which are contradictory to each other, next, in the current Adhikarna, the functions of these Shaktis are elaborated. The Shaktis of the Lord can be primarily divided into three categories. The internal, external, and marginal. The Antaranga Shakti, or the internal energy of the Lord, also called as Chit Shakti, manifests the spiritual world, whereas the Bahiranga Shakti, or the external energy, also known as Achit Shakti, manifests the material world. The Tathastha Shakti, or the marginal potency, manifests the living entities. In the current Adhikarana, Srila Jiva Goswami focuses on the functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis. The characteristics of the Tathastha Shakti is discussed in Paramatma Sandarbha. First, in the Anucheda 15, the different categories of Shaktis which the Lord possess are enumerated. Next, in the Anucheda 16, the functions of the Bahiranga Shakti is elaborated. The Bahiranga Shakti is further divided into two categories, called Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, based on the functions they accomplish. Jiva Maya, consisting of karma, time, swabhava, and action, which is the source of avidya, covers the jiva of his true knowledge, and hence is the cause of the jiva's illusion. Guna Maya, sometimes known as tamas, produces the material prakriti, which is the cause of substances created in this material world. Srila Prabhupada defines these two potencies as the covering potency and the throwing potency. Next, in the Anuchedas 17 through 18, the functions of Antaranga Shakti is described. In the material world, nothing can be accomplished by the jiva without the sanction of the Paramatma. Also, the jiva can't understand the Supreme Lord by his own endeavor or material knowledge, but can realize the Lord only by surrendering unto his internal potency, or Swarup Shakti. In the spiritual world, the Paramatma of the Jiva, like the sun in relation to its rays, exists as everything. By his Swarup Shakti, hence the Antaranga Shakti, or Swarup Shakti, manifests the spiritual world and also removes the jiva's illusion by awarding him the transcendental knowledge through which the jiva can gain entrance into the spiritual world. The nature of interaction of these shaktis with the Lord is described in Anuchedas 19 through 26. The Anuchedas 19 through 21 describe the relation of the Bahiranga Shakti with the Lord. The Supreme Lord is the controller of both internal and external potencies. So Maya is always under the control of the Lord and cannot act independently. But the Lord does not desire to enjoy the material energy, and hence he stays aloof from her. He desires the material creation for the sake of conditioned jiva, who wants to enjoy separate from him. And hence, only the conditioned jiva is entangled by the modes of nature, but not the Supreme Lord. Thus, the faults of Maya doesn't apply to the Lord. The Anuchedas 22-26 describe the nature of interaction of the Antaranga Shakti with the Supreme Lord. All the qualities and opulences of the Lord in the spiritual world are described as the Sarup Shakti, since they are non-different from the Lord's Sarup. Hence, the Antaranga Shakti is the Lord's own Shakti by which he accomplishes all his desires. Thus one can conclude that the Lord's form arises from his own Sarup by the means of his Sarup Shakti, as opposed to the Mayavadi's view that his form is produced by Maya through Sattva Guna. Anucheta 15. Thus the Lord exists with his Chit and Achit Shaktis. Hiranyakashipu speaks to Brahma, whom he praises as the Supreme Lord, mistakenly. Ananta vyakta rupena yene dam akilam tatam chirachich chakti yuktaya tasmai bhagavate namaha. I offer respects to you, the powerful Lord, endowed with spiritual and material potencies, by which you pervade the whole world with an unlimited and unmanifest form. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.3.34. Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shunyate, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests this material world. The internal potency manifests the spiritual world, and the marginal potency manifests the living entities, who are mixtures of internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of Parabrahman, is actually internal potency, but because of being in contact with material energy, he is an emanation of material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the marginal energy, material energy, and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. Conscious entities take shelter within other conscious entities take shelter within another conscious entity, just as the rays and light take shelter of the sun globe. The Jiva Shakti or Tathasta Shakti will be described in the Paramatma Sandarbha. In order to describe the Antaranga Shakti, the Bahiranga Shakti is described. The two are called Para and Apara. Quote, O Lord of the Devatas, O Paramatma, I offer respects to your inferior energy in all beings, which takes shelter of the gunas. I offer respects to your spiritual energy, which is ascertained by knowledge of the jnanis, which is beyond mind and words, and is without material distinctions. Vishnu Purana 1:19, 76-77. The Lord's Shakti has many functions. Okay, that's the way to do it. You're going to use the dash, then you only put the last number. Does that make sense? That's correct. Because otherwise when you put the full number, then you generally say and or a comma. But when you use the dash, then you can put it 76 through 77, like that. So, now we've gotten it. Okay. I offer respects to your spiritual energy, which is ascertained by knowledge of the jnanis, which is beyond mind and words and is without material distinctions. The Lord Shakti has many functions, for it is said, Parasya Shaktir Bahu Dhaiva Shuyate. The Shakti of the Lord has many types, Svetasvatara Upanishad. Viti, after enlisting the different types of Shaktis the Lord possesses, next the function of the Bahiranga Shakti is described. Anucheta 16. The Bahiranga Shakti is described. Viter tam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Tad vidyad atmano mayam yata bhasho yata tamaha. One should understand my maya by those whose objects other than me are perceived and are perceived without relation to me. This maya is like a reflection or darkness. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.34. The object, artam, which is perceived without me, who am the highest spiritual object, and which would not be perceived at all if I am perceived, and which is not perceived in relation to the Lord, or without relation to Atma, but rather independently of the Lord, know that to be Maya Shakti, composed of Jiva Shakti and Guna Maya, belonging to me, the Supreme Lord, Atmanaha. Right? So you understand what is Maya by what is seen and not understood in connection with the Lord. Right? So then, not understanding in connection with the Lord, and then the form of that which you are seeing, that you're not seeing in connection with the Lord. Both of that, that's Maya. So that's the Jiva Maya and the Guna Maya. Right? Because what you're seeing is the Guna Maya, but that you can't see it connection with the Lord, that's the Jiva Maya. Right? So the Jiva is in illusion because he can't see, right? What was that before he was stating about what do you say about the consisting of Jiva Maya consists of karma, time, swabhava, you know, it means your nature, and action. Right? So there's going to be karma and time. Means karma is actions performed, you know, what can be performed, what results you get in that. There's the time element to make things work. Right? Then within that, you're going to have your particular swabhava, you know, within the context of karma, what by your previous karma, now you have as your swabhava, as, you know, that's the results of your karma. And then the action that you will perform in that, you know, under time, that will produce your next karma, which will next produce your next swabhava. Right? So that's the whole point is there, is that the illusion that I'm the body, I'm the doer, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. That's Jiva Maya. Right? And then Guna Maya is going to be what you're working with. Right? The material energy you're working with. The field of action. Right? The body, the senses, the everything else like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
So Maharaj, can we say that the Jiva Maya is the cause for the Guna Maya in this?
Yeah, it means if there's no Jiva Maya, then the Guna Maya doesn't also have an illusory effect, because then you see it in connection with the Lord. So then you're just seeing the material energy, the Lord's external potency, in the context of the Lord. So you're seeing the inferior energy, but because you're seeing in context of the Lord is the predominant feature. Right. So therefore there's no illusion, so there's no Jiva Maya. Right? Because there has to be something that you see that therefore you're illusioned about. So that's the Guna Maya. And seeing it and being illusioned that it's not in connection with the Lord, that's the Jiva Maya.
Right? In this connection that in the Jiva Maya, time is also enlisted as a factor. But in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this time is the material conventional time which has been created, which is in actually temporary, but the original time element is eternal.
So it's just like all the Guna Maya is all eternal. Mm. It's just a matter of whether it's manifest or not, but all the 24 elements are there, time is eternal. So then that means the time that we're functioning under.
Yes.
That we put, so like our time is that, Brahma's under his time, all this, but it's not the time element. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So the time element is eternal, but the particular time that you're functioning under, that is part of the Jiva Maya, because Brahma thinks he's working in his time. We're thinking we're working in our time, right? You know, then there's kids, right? They have their own time. Like that. You know, it's like you're going somewhere, it takes forever to get there. Like I just the other day was found out. You know how I always said it was like we drive for like 3 hours to get to this one place. We drive through, you know, north and south and the that kind of the West Coast, Southern California West Coast, mm-hmm. and it's just solid cement. I found out the other day the place we were driving to that I thought took 3 hours was only 1 hour away. Because for me as a kid, it seemed like 3 hours. you know. And the place is actually close. So I thought we were driving farther down, like to San Diego or something. That would take 3 hours, but then I would have thought that would have taken like forever, right? You know, so that's the thing, is under your own, so that concept, that perception of time, that's the jiva maya. Yes. But time itself that makes things function and all that, that's not. Yeah. So
That means that Jivamaya has subjective nature and Gunamaya has objective nature.
Basically you could say that the Gunamaya is is going to be the abstract aspect. Everybody can use it and get their own personalized illusion from it. You know, it's not that you have to be under the control of someone else's illusory concept. And then the jiva maya, it also, of course, is a broader aspect, because the same potency is bringing every living entity under illusion. But then the living entity thinks, this is my illusion. You know, so you're going to have both effects, because you have the immediate thing that you're working with, but you have the principle. Like we're working with this table, so that's the immediate, but the principle of table, that's already there, right? And so that will be within the, you know, so we're affected by this, you know, because it may be part of our identification of our surup. You know, I have a table, right? But at the same time, as tableness is also within the gunas, within the ingredients. Right? Does that make sense? Because it has the original form, and it also has, then it's made out of the material elements.
When jivamaya will be removed, then gunamaya will be seen like an energy of creation.
Yes. Yeah. Because then it's not maya anymore. You'll just see the ingredients of the Lord's external creation. So that's what we're saying. You just have to change the consciousness. You don't have to change your position. Right? I mean, you don't have to change what you're doing, anything like that, unless what you're doing is not very useful. You know, if you're sitting there hitting yourself on the head with a hammer, you can stop doing that when you become Krishna conscious. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The object, artam, which is perceived without me, who am the highest spiritual subject, and which would not be perceived at all if I am perceived. Right? In other words, you wouldn't see something as maya if you're seeing the Lord. Right? Because as maya, you're saying you wouldn't perceive it. Because how we're perceiving it is something that we can control and enjoy. Mm-hmm. So if we're seeing it in the context of the Lord, we wouldn't see it like that. So you would not see material.
Yes. Yes.
So then you're not actually dealing on the material platform. You may see the external energy, but the effect it has is not, there's no maya.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And which is not perceived in relation to the Lord or without relation to the Atma, right? Meaning the soul, and that the soul is in relationship with the Lord, but rather independently of the Lord, right? So since it's independent of the Lord, even seeing the relation to the Atma not connected to the Lord will still be an illusion, right? It's the last snare of Maya. Right? Know that to be Maya Shakti, right? So Prabhupada says that the object which is perceived without me, who the highest spiritual object. Oh, okay. It's perceived. Yeah, so Prabhupada is saying the values, right? What you value. Not seeing it in connection with the Lord, because you only see things you value. Right? Means that, let's say you walk into a store, there's so many things there. What do you see? What's of value to you? Right? And if something looks like it might be similar, then you'll look and analyze it to see, is it what you value? Right? Other people walk into the same shop, see something different. Okay. which is not perceived in relation to the Lord or without relation to Atma, but rather independently of the Lord, know that to be Maya Shakti, composed of Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, belonging to me, the Supreme Lord, Atmanaha. The pure Jiva, being also a conscious form, like the ray of a sun, is included in the Lord in this statement. So when you see the Jiva as a part and parcel of the Lord, when you see like that, then you are seeing outside of, then you're not seeing with the Maya Shakti.
Yes.
So it's not that Jiva Maya goes away, Guna Maya stays. They're a package. Right? You know, so if you're not under Maya, you're not under the point of Jiva Maya or Guna Maya.
Yes.
You can see the Lord's energies, you see the soul, you see everything in relationship to the Lord. So you're able to see the Chitta Chit Ishwara, but you see them in their actual position. So?
Yes. It's only a change of vision.
It's a change of vision.
And vision means consciousness.
Yes, because it's our value. That's why you're seeing here. Why would you see something as you know, in the context of controlling and enjoying? Yes, that's our value.
Yes.
But when our value becomes that of serving Krishna,
yes,
then it changes that. Then we're not in illusion anymore. So it's not where we're situated or what we're doing. It's the consciousness in which it's being done.
Yes.
Right? So that's why you see is that in the sixth canto, we see so many great personalities, you know, these great kings and all that, and they're paramahamsas, even though they're emperors of the world.
Yes.
Like in that canto, there's no local kings, right? They're all emperors of the world or Bhumandala, you know, like that. All seven islands or at least one island, you know, and if not, minimum just, you know, the whole earth. Like that. And they're all paramahamsas. So, because otherwise they say, okay, he's managed a small thing. If you're doing something big, you know, but, you know, that's way bigger than anyone's doing that we know of. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that it's not the situation. It's actually the perspective. Because it's Krishna's energy. And all the energy has rules on how to apply it in Krishna's service. And so that's the point of the mode of goodness, is that you are performing the activity in connection with the Lord according to the duty, which means the mode of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you're doing it to please the Lord, that brings it to pure goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to get to. So that's the position. But until we have that, then naturally then you have these material stages which we situate ourselves in, depending upon our consciousness. We don't like to deal with much stuff, then you situate yourself in one way. You're comfortable or you're more comfortable dealing with lots of stuff, you situate yourself in a different way. Right? So that's how it's going to do. Because it's just like the man on his own situating himself, you know, let's say with a lot of stuff or not so much stuff, what's the difference between his a lot of stuff and his not much stuff?
Not too much.
Yeah, not too much. You know, you add in a car or two, you know, another suit, you know, like that. So therefore, for it to function there, you have to add in a wife. Because she'll show you how to use stuff. Right? You know. Does that make sense? Then it expands. So you situate yourself accordingly. But the point is in that situation, you're still going to use everything according to the rules that apply to the thing. Right? It's still going to apply. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter, is that they're using it now to serve Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And the conditioned living entities is using it for themselves. Because if everything's Krishna's, everything belongs to Krishna, then there isn't anything separate from Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the problem comes is that, why are we involved in these things? Because we're thinking that they are separate from Krishna and we can use it ourselves. That's the illusion. So that's what you're trying to correct. But the point is, since it all belongs to Krishna, it's supposed to be used in his service anyway. Right? And then that means then there is rules on how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like you're looking for food. Humans have certain foods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grains, fruits, vegetables, you know, dairy, like this. That's what they have as food. So then you follow that, and those things can be offered to Krishna. Right? So therefore, in devotion, you offer those things to Krishna. right? And so then that solves all the problems. So we can say is no, but there's all the right and wrong in the world. But if you follow the devotional recommendation, you're only doing what's right. Right? Meat eating only comes up if you don't follow this rule.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that you just follow those rules that are good for devotion, and you have. But otherwise, if not, then you'll see it comes down, and yes, it becomes a social platform, political platform, in which people then interact and give some value to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, anything of any value is because of its connection to Krishna. So everything's connected to Krishna. And so it's just a matter of what? So the animals are there because living entities are conditioned, and so therefore then they have to spend some time as animals. Right? Because of all the different things they do. Right? And so then they end up in those positions. But otherwise, then the animals do their thing and we do ours. Right? They don't, you don't have to worry about it. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. In the previous verse, it has already been concluded that in any stage of the cosmic manifestation, its appearance, its sustenance, its growth, its interactions of different energies, its deterioration, and its disappearance, all has its basic relation with the existence of the personality of Godhead. Right? So this is the second verse of the Chaturshloki. Right? And as such, whenever there is forgetfulness of this prime relation with the Lord, and whatever things are accepted as real without being related to the Lord, that conception is called a product of the illusory energy of the Lord. Right? So the Lord is everything. He creates it, he maintains it, he destroys it, he's there before. So he's non-different from the creation, but at the same time, he's different. So all that's been established. Now seeing that not connected to the Lord, that's Maya. So if you understand the first verse, there's no Maya. Right? So if you just take it, okay, that's a philosophy. No, it means everything you value, everything you see, you have to see it in connection with the Lord. Right? That's real. Because nothing can exist without the Lord. It should be known that the illusory energy is also an energy of the Lord. The right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relation with the Lord is called Yoga Maya, or the energy of union. And the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relation with the Lord is called the Lord's Daiva Maya, or Mahamaya. Right? So there's Yoga Maya, or there's Daiva Maya. Both the Mayas also have connection with the Lord, because nothing can exist without being related to Him. As such, the wrong conception of detaching relationships from the Lord is not false, but illusory. Right? So, all these different things, as they're not false, means that they're not, it's not that they don't exist. But when you don't see it connected to the Lord, then you're in illusion. Then you're under this Jiva and Guna Maya.
So Maharaj, Devi Maya, Ma Maya, and Guna Maya are the same thing?
No, me, Daiva Maya, Mahamaya, and Guna Maya, Jiva Maya, they're all talking about the same thing.
So Guna Maya.
So Yoga Maya is the spiritual.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Daiva Maya means it's his energy that's controlled by him.
Yes.
Right? And therefore it controls us. We're not going to get control of it.
Yes.
Mahamaya just means the great Maya, because everything's, Maya. And then the Jiva Maya means how the Jiva is under the illusion in this way. The Guna Maya is that he thinks that the things he's seeing are separate from the Lord. Right? So the one is that consciousness that develops, and then that consciousness being applied upon the things that are there. Right? Because then he has to be an illusion. It's just like, unless you're covered, let's say, like probably gives the example of a pig. The living entity to take up a pig body from a human, it's not going to work very well.
Yes.
You're not going to be very pleased.
Yes.
Right? You can't even pick things up, like that. So therefore the living entity has to be covered first.
Yes.
Then the Guna Maya can give him a pig's body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he relates with it because he's an illusion now that he thinks I'm a pig.
Yes.
Right? So that he thinks I'm a pig, that's the Jiva Maya. That he has a pig's body, that's the Guna Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. Right? So the covering and then throwing, because throwing means they throw you to some place other than where, you know, than you should be. Is that... So like that. So it says it doesn't seem to be it's just a pleasant, you know, like that. You're tossed into the next one.
Like that. Yes. It's like these two generally, Gunamaya and Jivamaya, are used only at that specific function of each of them. So
yes.
Based on the function, they're categorized.
Yes. Otherwise, then it's Mahamaya or Jivamaya, because
mm-hmm.
Jivamaya and Gunamaya are subsections of the external energy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Means when she's applying her illusory aspect.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So does it mean that karma is dealing with Gunamaya and Jnana is trying to deal with Jivamaya? That's all in the frames of Mahamaya.
Karma in Gunamaya means you're engaging the Gunamaya. Yeah, because then that's what you're there, but then... Jnana then means you're trying to deal with removing the Jiva Maya. But the problem is that unless you're dealing with the Vaishnava philosophy, you never actually remove it. You reduce it down.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so it's not, it doesn't have as wide a range. So you'll consider everything to be, you know, illusion. So then you'll just think a small group to be spiritual. But actually your vision of that, since you still don't see it in connection with the Lord, it's still illusion. You're still under that Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. But it's very small.
But it's an effort.
Sorry?
It's an effort to get rid of the...
It's an effort to get rid of it, but the point is unless the effort is in line with the Vaishnava philosophy, you won't get rid of it. You know? But if they come in contact with the devotees... So the whole point is why it's considered a higher position socially. Is because if they do come in contact with bhakti, they'll be very nicely situated.
Mm.
Right? But if they don't, then they're not, it's not that the position itself is what's superior. So that's why a devotee who sees everything in relation to the Lord, even a neophyte devotee, is in a much better position than this very highly qualified jnani.
Mm.
You know, that knows so much and is so renounced and so detached and all that. The neophyte devotee is actually better situated because he sees things in context of the Lord. Well, the other one doesn't. The jnani doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something else? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Persons with a poor fund of knowledge become illusioned, and therefore the so-called scientists, physiologists, empiric philosophers, etc., become dazzled by the glaring reflection of the sun, moon, electricity, etc., and deny the existence of the Supreme Lord. Putting forward theories and different speculations about the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material energy. Right? So, seeing the Guna Maya, they become illusioned.
Yes.
Right? So they have about the creation. They see the sun, the moon, electricity, and everything like that, whatever, and they become dazzled by it.
Yes.
Right, so that they're dazzled by it. That's the Jiva Maya. But the point is the guna that they think what it is and what you can do with it. That's they go together. That's the whole point. You're in Jiva Maya about Guna Maya.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Right. Which one is covering? And which one is throwing?
Covering would be the Jiva Maya because the Jiva is covered.
And
Guna Maya is what you're thrown into. You know, the various situations and all that, because you just end up there, and that's that. So you're in a particular construct of Guna Maya, you know, so you're transferred into that. Sorry?
After many years, many of the times in material, you think, how did I end up here?
Yeah, it's always how did I end up, because, yeah, that's the Guna Maya. And the thing is you're asking how did I end up here means you didn't notice that you ended up here. And then you go, hey, wait a minute. You know? So that's the point, because you're covered first. So if you're not covered, you'll notice immediately. Right? So that's why then covering has to be accomplished. You know, so that's why the two go together as the Mahamaya, because you can't really separate them. You know, you have the illusion itself and what you're illusioned about. Because without the thing that you're illusioned about, where's the illusion? Right? Without the material body, right, which is Gunamaya, you wouldn't be in illusion, you know, in Jivamaya, that I am this. You know what I'm saying? But it's just pointing out there's the two, because the point is the illusion, it can go away, but it doesn't mean that the material energy that you work with goes away. But now it's functioning under the Yogamaya instead of Mahamaya. Because Mahamaya means you don't see it connected to the Lord. So since the Yogamaya, the Mahamaya is a transformation of the Yogamaya, then when you're working, seeing in relationship to the Lord, you're working with Yogamaya. It doesn't mean that it's... Because in the Sarup Shakti, it includes the external energy. So it's not that the mechanics of the external energy don't continue. So like that. So that's just to make sure. Because otherwise, then many could say, oh, it all just disappears. No, it still stays there. You just don't see it in the same way. Now you always see it in context of the Lord.
Yes. Lam Kantor, it is explained that in the beginning, when the living entity comes into the material consciousness, he doesn't have anything external to identify with. Then he sees what Maya is portraying, like a play. And when he starts identifying with a particular character, particular thing, then he gets involved in the material things.
Okay, so first he sees the Maya.
Yeah, so that's the Guna Maya gives you your choice. Prabhupada always tells 84 lakh species, he gives choice.
Okay.
Then he portrays.
And then whichever one you think is the
It's like going to the movies and then...
Yes, it's like the trailer. You know, you see the whole thing and then which one you...
Just in Bhagavad Gita, in one verse, Krishna describes both aspects of Gunamaya and Jivamaya. This is the 13th chapter, Purusha Prakritistoti Bhunkte Prakriti Janguna. First, there is desire to enjoy, and then he finds himself in the material energy.
Okay, yes, then he's in that. Because what you want to enjoy, the concept that I can enjoy, want to enjoy, that'll be Jivamaya, and then the situation he's in, that'll be the good.
Then he's faced with Satasati Unijanasha. He has to meet the good and the bad.
Bad, yeah. Yeah, they both come together. Somehow or another, we think we'll only get the good, not the bad. But that's not how it works.
It's another illusion.
Sorry?
It's another illusion.
Yes, another illusion that we can only take the good and leave the bad. So, yeah. The medical practitioner may deny the existence of the soul in the physiological bodily construction of an individual person, but he cannot give life to a dead body, even though all the mechanisms of the body exist even after death. The psychologist makes a serious study of the psychological conditions of the brain, as if the construction of the cerebral lump were the machine of the functioning mind. Cerebral lump. But in the dead body, the psychologist cannot bring back the function of the mind. These scientific studies of the cause of manifestation, or the bodily construction independent of the Supreme Lord, are different reflective intellectual gymnastics only. But at the end, they are all illusion and nothing more. All such advancement of science and knowledge in the present context of material civilization is but an action of being covered, is but an action of the covering influence of the illusory energy. The illusory energy has two phases of existence, namely the covering influence and the throwing influence. By the throwing influence, the illusory energy throws the living entities into the darkness of ignorance. And by the covering, she covers the eyes of men with a poor fund of knowledge about the existence of the Supreme Person, who enlightened the Supreme Individual Living Being, Brahma. Okay, so here is the covering, or the throwing into the darkness of ignorance. No, yeah, the covering is... Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, okay. It means and the covering means you don't see properly. Poor fund of knowledge. Okay. The identity of Brahma with the Supreme Lord is never claimed herein. And therefore, such a foolish claim by the man with a poor fund of knowledge is another display of the illusory energy of the Lord. Okay, then Jiva Goswami. Since Maya is defined in two forms, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, there are two examples given. First is the example of Jiva Maya. This example refutes the impossibility or non-existence of it. And Abhasha is a vivid image or reflection in another place, caused by the original object through light. It appears externally and cannot be perceived without the original object. Jiva Maya is of this nature. Footnote 24. Jiva Maya, explained in Paramatma Sandarbha, consists of karma, time, swabhava, ability to transform, and action. Okay. Run out of time, so we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanoda ki.